The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. You are now listening to Dear My Anxiety. I'm your host, Ebony Garza, a series based on my journey with anxiety and all the things I have encountered along the way. From advice to social media, I cover it all. Back to my show, everybody. Today I want to talk about a few things that go hand in hand with anxiety, and the first thing I want to talk about is self-sabotage, which refers to the beliefs and behaviors that prevents us from achieving our goals, hopes, and dreams. And it's a very normal part of the human experience. It's something that we all do, and often without even realizing we're doing it. Fortunately, knowing the types of self-sabotage, where it comes from, and some helpful tips can help you overcome this inner critic. So to go over the types of self-sabotage, there are different types, including procrastination, perfectionism, self-criticism, resisting change, and poor self-care. Ultimately, as I said, it's very common, it's a human behavior, but it has its variations, and whatever your form of self-sabotage is, it's possible to overcome. So firstly, procrastination involves stalling rather than immediately diving into a project. Delaying action and engaging in distractions helps people avoid the stress and anxiety or otherwise emotionally uncomfortable situations, even though they might ultimately lead to growth. The second is perfectionism. Perfectionism is a need for everything to be completely perfect, and a lot of people with anxiety struggle with this. And it can be really self-defeating. An immense sense of perfectionism prevents people from advancing in their career or enjoying satisfying long-term relationships because it sets impossibly high standards. Third is self-criticism, and this also goes hand in hand with negative self-talk, as I talked about in my last show. This can affect our actions and prevents us from meeting our goals. It's frequently automatic and running through our minds unchecked as an instant reaction to ourselves, others, and the situation we encounter every day. So listening to harsh self-criticism is a form of self-sabotage because doing so prevents us from believing that we have what it takes to achieve our goals. Four is resisting change. Uncertainty intolerance is an underlying form of anxiety, and resisting change can keep people trapped in their comfort zone. It involves clinging to old habits, making excuses such as being too busy, making goals without taking the proper steps to meet them, or avoiding goal setting altogether. The fifth is poor self-care. Not taking proper care of yourself is a form of self-sabotage that can prevent you from thriving. This includes poor eating habits, lack of sleep, not exercising, or avoiding visits with the doctor or therapist for physical and mental challenges. It can also involve engaging in risky behaviors like self-medicating with alcohol or drugs, comfort eating, or even gambling. So here are some tips that you can use to help the self-sabotaging and possibly stop it. And just a reminder, self-sabotaging does not define who you are. It does not erase your strengths and talents. Therefore, it is possible to replace self-sabotage with self-advancement. So firstly, boost your self-awareness. Spend some time reflecting on yourself to increase your awareness of your own self-sabotage. Try journaling. As I've said several times, journaling is a great way to just get your thoughts out on a piece of paper, to really, you know, go back and just think about it. Like, why are you feeling this way? Look before you leap. This is an old saying, and it holds a lot of wisdom for modern day self-sabotagers. As you begin to notice negative behaviors, thoughts, and feelings, ask yourself whether these habits are helping or hurting you. Often we feel pressured to do something or avoid doing something out of fear. So taking a moment to decide if something will hold you back or move you forward can prevent this self-sabotage. Set meaningful goals and pair them with an action plan. Meaningful goals help you live with intention. Even more powerful, pair meaningful goals with specific actions. Consider your deepest values when setting your goals. 4 is make small changes. Positive action certainly beats self-defeating action, but remember that habits are most effectively changed in small steps. Think in terms of making increment changes. 5, befriend yourself. This inner critic is a primary factor underlying self-sabotage. Therefore, replacing automatic self-critical thoughts with more nurturing ones is a crucial step in stopping the self-sabotage. Develop a sort of gentle attitude toward yourself and acknowledge your emotions. 6 is know and embrace your strengths. Everyone has character strengths that can help them thrive once identified. 7 is practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is a way of life that involves being fully present and grounded in each moment. It helps us separate the past from the present as well as thoughts from reality. 8 is work with a mental health therapist. A therapist can gently guide you toward a deeper self-understanding. They also provide tips and strategies for facing down self-sabotaging thoughts and finding a way to boost your emotional self-care. Okay, so for my next segment, I'm going to talk about anxiety and appetite. Now, some might think that appetite changes should be the least of your concern. After all, anxiety itself is hard enough to manage on a daily basis. However, changes to your appetite can be problematic, not only for your health, but also for management of your current anxiety. And it should go without say that eating too much or eating too little is unhealthy in general. Too much can cause you to be overweight, and too little can make you lack the necessary nutrients to properly function. So, in addition to these common issues, your appetite can also affect your fatigue and energy. A common problem is the way appetite changes, and anxiety can affect energy levels and induce fatigue. Overeaters often find themselves excessively sleepy and without any energy. Undereaters do not consume enough calorie and nutrients to stay energized. Both spectrums suffer from correctable fatigue, making it harder for their minds and body to cope with stress and/or anxiety. General health. Your general health plays an incredibly important role in coping with anxiety. Those that eat too much often find their general health suffers, and the additional calorie intake causes undue physical stress on the body, such as making the heart work harder, placing more stress on joints, etc. People who undereat can suffer from increased heart rate, impaired metabolism, decreased ability to fight infections. These stresses only serve to make your anxiety worse. Whenever your general health declines, your anxiety tends to worsen with it. Hyperventilation is another symptom. Obesity has a tendency to cause more hyperventilation as a result of your diaphragm being unable to fully depress and allow full lung capacity or expansion. As a result, you are forced to take shorter, shallower breaths that with time can cause hyperventilation. Now, hyperventilation can both cause and be a symptom of panic attacks. Nutrient deficiency. Those that do not consume enough calories can find themselves altering their diet in manners that expedite nutrient deficiency. There are some vitamins and minerals loosely associated with anxiety. Low levels of magnesium and vitamin B12, for example, have both been seen to possibly worsen already present anxiety symptoms. General nutrient deficiencies may lead to unusual physical sensations that may increase the risk of panic attacks. Regardless of the reason, the key here is the anxiety. anything that puts stress on your body in any way, whether it is digesting too much food or not receiving enough vitamins and minerals, it's going to cause your body excess anxiety. It may not cause anxiety specifically, but it will make it harder to reduce these symptoms. The connection between stress and appetite is still not fully understood. Everyone responds to stress differently, but a sizable number of those with anxiety admit that stress causes changes in not only their appetite, but also just in general how they enjoy their food. Now, on the outside, as I said, anxiety-induced appetite issues may not appear to be a serious problem, but it is. Often the way individuals alter their diet in response to stress and or anxiety cause a downstream effect on their long-term anxiety outcomes. So I really recommend if you're suffering from this, you should try to work on resolving this. So the types of appetite problems, there are multiple changes, but the most common are eating more or eating less. Some people have greater appetite and some people have less when they experience anxiety. Now, appetite should not be confused with any digestion or any associated issues with it. It can cause digestion issues, but it's usually instigated by other causes. So the reason that people eat more when they feel stressed, for some, eating is associated with feelings of comfort and overall good well-being. This is associated with a flood of positive neurotransmitters such as dopamine, which is released when a person eats. So eating food then serves as a coping mechanism. So whenever this person becomes stressed, they're usually followed by feelings of hunger. These two then become paired and they start feeling connected in a way. People who eat less when they have anxiety, it's a bit less clear and uncommon, but it's theorized that when anxiety hits, your body retains excess acids, making you feel full for longer. Final segment, I'm going to talk about TMJ and anxiety. So if you don't know what TMJ is, it's the temporomandibular joint that connects the jawbone to the skull. There's one on each side of the face. It's a hinge-like joint that is surrounded by jaw muscles, nerves, and tendons that support motions of the jaw. These joints move forward, backward, side to side, allowing you to chew, yawn, speak, etc. TMJ is also known as TMD. And is a condition that is characterized by the inflammation of the joints, which causes symptoms like pain, aching, tenderness of the jaw, ears, and even face, challenges chewing, difficulty closing or opening the mouth, your jaw may feel locked in place, clicking or grinding noise with mouth movement. Now, there are likely a combination of factors that cause someone to experience TMJ. Stress and anxiety can either contribute to its development or worsen the condition. So chronic stress and anxiety can manifest in the body in many different ways. A few factors that can lead to TMJ include tightening up the jaw, causing people to grind their teeth, producing muscular tension. These symptoms can contribute to TMJ in several ways, especially when they are experienced regularly. Stress and anxiety can also lead to the misalignment of the jaw, which applies pressure on the joints, causing TMJ. Significantly impact sleep, making it difficult to initiate and or maintain quality of sleep, which only worsens the symptoms. Chronic stress and anxiety can intensify these effects, which then exacerbate TMJ. This creates a vicious cycle that impacts daily wellness. You can disrupt this cycle by practicing useful ways to manage stress and TMJ. So TMJ can typically be alleviated through self-managed care, like massage and stretches, eating certain foods that are soft, and this prevents overworking of the jaw muscles. Avoid eating any chewy or hard foods, and then obviously trying to reduce your stress and anxiety, which, as we've talked about, is extremely difficult, but this is particularly important. Try to identify the triggers and stressors which cause you to clench or grind your teeth. I know I personally struggle with clenching my teeth when I'm feeling anxious. I haven't specifically identified what it is that triggers this because I don't do it all the time. It's only in certain cases when I find myself clenching my teeth, but I don't always notice it. I actually went to the dentist not that long ago, and he gave me a mouth guard because just from the way my teeth looked, he was able to see that I clench my teeth. So there are some indications that anxiety may actually cause TMJ, which may in turn cause more anxiety. Many people with anxiety experience a considerable amount of jaw clenching, especially during sleep, and it's possible that this may lead to an increase in TMJ disorder symptoms. However, at this point, more research is required before we can be certain about the link between TMJ disorder and anxiety. Obviously, the more you can control your TMJ symptoms, the easier it will be to control your anxiety about it. So make sure to talk to your doctor about what you need to cope with your anxiety and if you're experiencing TMJ disorder. But remember that while TMJ disorder contributes to anxiety, anxiety isn't literally caused by the disease. Rather, anxiety is a secondary symptom that comes from possibly living with TMJ or vice versa. And often it's already present in those that develop TMJ. Like I said, a lot of people don't notice that this happens. I personally don't always notice when I'm clenching my teeth. But once it develops, as I said before, it only makes your anxiety worsen. So remember to take care of yourself. If you feel like you need to, talk to your doctor, talk to your dentist, try to get help, and we'll see you next time.